Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bum in the Bloom, episode 141. It is Thursday evening, so we are previewing the week ahead in Fab, week 12 Fab preview for you tonight. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
We're on cloud nine tonight, man. We got a new haircut. The wife's out of town, so I had both boys, got them fed, changed up to bed and sleeping before the pod. And we got both you and me an awesome gift. Nice. From one of our good friends and loyal listeners to the show and sometimes chatter, Anthony Gialdi, sent us a little care package, Kansas City Moose t-shirt, koozie, and what are these called?
It's called a cup holder.
Cup holder. That's it? Cup holder? That's all they're called?
Something like that's what I call them. I could be wrong.
Anyway, so thank you, man.
There he is right there.
That was very nice of you. Really appreciate it, man.
Gialdi, oh, he's here. Right there.
Yep. There we go. Much appreciated. Very nice of you.
Yep. Great stuff. It was a coaster. There it is.
Coaster. That's the word I was thinking. It's not cup holder. What are you talking about?
Like, I have it out in my front room right now because in my office, I still have from the first Rose Bowl I ever went to, my Wisconsin Badgers custom made. These were sold only in the parking lot. Someone was selling them in the parking lot, a 4-pack. So I still got that. I've been to 3 Rose Bowls, 0-3, but those are what I got. Because one of them was Oregon. That was a great game, though. Russell Wilson in that game, that was awesome.
Remember that?
But saw the ginger from TCU, Dalton, take care of business. Dalton. It's been a rough go in the Rose Bowl, but that's a whole other podcast for another day. Thank you, Mr. Gialdi. Great stuff as usual. Let's just get right to it, Ryan. The most recent news that dropped, still kind of dropping as we record. There's been more updates as we record, but Juan Soto, he did not return after the rain delay in the Yankees game. He was out with forearm discomfort, they said. He's been dealing with this apparently for a little while now. The team doctor checked him out and said, you need to go have imaging on Friday, which does not make you feel warm and fuzzy ever. When that takes place, I want to know if he injured this doing the bat flip from the gods on Sunday in San Francisco, if that's what it was. But regardless, this is not good news. And everyone's going to point to the Jason Dominguez thing. That could be something. He's on rehab. They pulled him out at the rain delay because they don't want to get him hurt in a wet field. But obviously, it could translate. So what's your thoughts? Again, we're still waiting information. We're hoping for the best. But I told you before the show, I'm not optimistic anymore with any of these news. The situations,
right? We've been trained to just like expect the worst given everything that has gone on in 2024, and it seems like every single like incremental piece of news that we have gotten, at least through Thursday night, again by Friday a lot of this might be moot once I get the imaging, but every like incremental piece of news has since been worse about Juan Soto. So I don't know, obviously would be just you want to see baseball's best players in there as much as possible. Fascinating for Soto wise, if this is something serious, like he is entering free agency and one of the biggest free agent contract negotiations in history, if not the, since he's still just 25 and an absolute machine of a hitter, maybe non-Otani division. So just a lot of things at play, but for now, hoping for the best. And just an interesting tell, even if it's not serious, an interesting tell by the Yankees that maybe Jason Dominguez isn't that far off of the majors, despite what they've been telling us so far this season. Maybe Jason Dominguez is their fourth outfielder, just kind of getting reps in the minors, which would make sense. Yep, so fab wise, that's a takeaway.
Yes,
even if 100%. It's minor.
And we'll get more news on Friday after the MRI results. Well, you'd imagine we find out Friday, if not Saturday, on how those results come through, and you'll have a good idea on Sunday on how you want to approach the Jason Dominguez, Juan Soto situation in a nutshell, but let's just have some fun. If Soto's going to be out, if Jason Dominguez gets called up, would you rather spend, if you have one more big hit of Fab coming your way, would you rather get Jason Dominguez or Noelvi Marte?
That's a good question.
Could be dependent, obviously, if you need corner infield versus outfield. Let's just say it's for a utility spot. Which one would you rather have?
Was not prepared for this hard-hitting line of questioning.
Everyone says I'm a good interviewer, not a good fantasy player. So here you go. I'm interviewing you right now.
God, that's tough. I don't know. I really don't know what I would do right now. I would probably go Dominguez. I'd probably go Dominguez. I like the lineup, although the lineup's not as good without Soto there. Mm-hmm. But I'll go Dominguez.
Yeah, it is very difficult. I'd probably go Nuelve on this one. Joe Newell says Nuelve in the chat here. Jason's going to cost a ton. I probably go Nuelve in this one. Ballpark situation, their lineup's still pretty good too, especially with that ballpark in play. I'm going to go that direction. But we saw what Jason did in the short time before he got hurt last year. He's swinging it well in rehab right now. Obviously, it's not the bigs, but he's looking good. So you got to imagine he's going to be ready to rock and roll when he gets up there. Can't really go wrong, but they're both going to be super, super expensive. Edgardo in the chat says Dominguez has contact issues. Yeah, he does, but a lot of these young players do these days, and we've seen it work for some and not for others. But it'll be a fun situation because we talked about on the last show, like, Nuelve's getting closer, so if there's any stashes left, the time is now. And if he's not, you can't, you obviously, in NFECs, you can't get him until later, but he will cost a fortune as well. Both of these guys will. I agree with Gialdi. I think Jason Dominguez goes for a lot more than Nuelve. So just be prepared,
folks. I'm correct. There we go.
No, I said, who would you like, not who would you like to spend more on?
I should have just punted and said, depends on team need and position need. Actually, that is a consideration because, like we talked about on Tuesday, and Steven in the chat here says, thanks for the info, might need a Soto replacement. We mentioned this on Tuesday's show. Replacement level in outfield on waivers this year has been a lot better than in the corners, or really in the infield in general. So that might be a nod in Noelvi's, an additional nod in Noelvi's favor.
Okay, I know we're going off the rails here, but it is a Fab show, so we're kind of queuing Fab stuff here. So let's say, for instance, Steven, I believe he plays in a 10-team league when he asked his questions before.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of options, a lot of outfield options. I know I've seen like even 12-team OCs, let alone your Yahoos and whatnot, like a guy like Elliot Ramos is less than 50% rostered in most of those formats. Yeah. Would you rather spend, I know it's price dependent, team dependent, would you spend like 15 to 25 bucks on Ramos, or would you rather spend 150 on Dominguez?
Yeah, like 15 on Ramos. And
yeah, see, so that's where,
ride it while it's hot and move on to the next shallower league. Yep.
So that's the thing, is the point to that is, just because Jason is awesome doesn't mean you have to run and go. It's league dependent, team dependent, all that good stuff. But yes, so something to think about, and there'll be a ton more conversation on this as more news comes out over the weekend. We're just kind of having a little fun with it now, but there will be probably too much conversation on it in the end, because the basics is Dominguez is awesome. He's going to cost a lot. If your team really needs the help, go get him. If you can kind of just chip away throughout the season, chip away throughout the season. That's kind of the easiest approach, I would say, to do it. Hey, stop me if you've heard this before. Ryan was really excited this was going to start the show, and then it didn't. Chris Bryant's back on the IL, everybody. And what really makes me laugh is, for the last 2 days, it's been reported he's struggling from a back injury, but then he goes on the IL on Thursday with a rib injury. So it's just another check mark on the Chris Bryant situation. I think everyone knows how I feel on Chris Bryant. If you've read any of my content lately, my daily news, you know how I feel about Chris Bryant. So I'll get your thoughts, Ryan. What's your thoughts on Chris Bryant going back on the IL?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a disaster. It doesn't have any fantasy implications, but I think I've mentioned this before, but like, it's funny how everyone just loves to hate on Anthony Rendon when like Chris Bryant is arguably just as bad. Like, I don't think this dude wants to even see the field. Like the thing was, it was a minor injury. Then he did not, I think the quote was, did not respond well to treatment. And then now he's on the IL. This is like the one time the Rockies go out and spend big on a free agent, it's Chris Bryant. Like it's a disaster. Bryant has even said, he was like, this isn't the team. This isn't the minor leaguers I thought that I was signing on with when I signed with Colorado. And it's gross, man. I mean, fantasy wise, Bryant's nowhere even near on rosters. Like, he probably even shouldn't be on the rundown, but I think you just want to rub in how bad Chris Bryant is.
And the fantasy point I want to say is, you can drop Chris Bryant, folks. I will not really care to listen to any conversation of the opposite. If you want to keep him, sure, but don't come tell me why, because that's just a you thing. And at this point, But I would say drop him. Would you say drop Chris Bryant?
Yes.
Okay, good. I wanted to mention something about Dom mentioned. We forgot to mention it because we talked about this off the air, actually. Jason Dominguez, when people are like all excited, he got removed almost at the same time as the issue is. He was playing as part of his rehab process today, four at bats or seven innings, whichever came first. I agree with that. It's still the realistic plan of attack because they did mention a couple days ago he's very close to being. They said he's almost ready to be called up. There's just nowhere for him to play at this point in time. That might have changed this evening. So we'll see how that goes. Cade Povich made his MLB debut on Thursday. Many people have been waiting for this one with all the injuries in Baltimore's rotation. It kind of went how you'd expect a debut to go. Gave up a few runs, didn't go super deep into the game. Only a couple strikeouts compared to what we saw in the minor leagues, but I'm guessing I always like to chalk up jitters, adrenaline, a lot of those things to these debuts. What are you thinking with Cade Povich? Because the Orioles had two pitchers get Tommy John this past week. So there's two spots in that rotation, and this could be one for him because he did throw 126 innings at the minors last year. So he threw about 55-60 in AAA so far. So we could see a legit 80 plus innings out of him the rest of the way.
You could if he's effective enough. You always take the major league debut with a grain of salt, but we do need to look. I mean, Cade Povich had 8 whiffs on 100 pitches. That's really bad. 22% CSW. So he just wasn't getting the strikes he needed. Nobody was chasing, and that was kind of the scouting report on Povich coming up was he doesn't have that kind of ability to induce chases, even in the minors. So we'll see how that translates over to the major. The command today wasn't that great, but again, it's the dude's major league debut. So we'll see. For me, like, Cade Povich is, and we'll talk about him a little bit later too, I guess, in the CBS risers, but he's on our list as going up from 20 to 27%, which is right around your like Jake Irvin, Bailey Falter, Spencer Schwellenbach type. So I think Povich just becomes, he went from potentially with a really good outing being a potentially expensive fab guy on Sunday to now being probably part of this streaming glob that we kind of don't want any part of. So like, I don't know. I don't know how you'd rank Povich among that group. Irvin, I'd have Irvin over Povich. I'd probably take Povich over Falter, and maybe Schwellenbach. Povich is close. So I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely have Schwellenbach last. He's a pitch to contact guy. Never really was into that one. But yeah, Irvin's the dude. We've talked about that enough out of that group for me. So we'll see where it goes. See if more like Orico thinks that Povich will get sent down. I think he sticks around for a little bit longer at least.
That's the thing. I mean, he does. Povich, yes, the openings are there, but like, he does need to pitch well soon because Baltimore is in it this year. Does need to pitch well soon to keep a spot in the rotation.
And like he says, Burns, Suarez, Bradish, Irvin, G-Rod. Yeah, because Bradish got his start skipped just to give him more rest. So that could be all it is. I'm not the biggest Suarez guy. He's pitching well, but I think there's a lot to not be excited about there. So we'll see. Like, Povich is
Irvin, but
the next big thing. Cole Irvin's pitching well too. Can't completely knock that train either. So there's opportunity if Povich is willing to grab it. And outside of Burns, that rotation screams of let's throw 6 men out there. So something else to think about in Baltimore. Kenta Maeda left after 2 pitches on Wednesday with side injury. The Tigers did not play on Thursday, so as usual, we get no news from the team. He's hoping it's not bad, but let's just be real. That sounds like an IL stint with an oblique injury. Plus, Maeda hasn't been great. So what's your thoughts on that one?
I just hearken back to John Fish is a good friend of ours, so I think he'll be fine with me ribbing him here. But I'll go back to our draft and hold. If you think your draft and hold, anyone who does draft and holds out there, if you think your draft and hold team has been riddled by injuries, John Fish, who's in our meatball draft and hold that we started last August and finished up in November, so like super early in draft season, was down to 1 starting pitcher this week. The rest was all relievers, and that 1 starting pitcher was Kenta Maeda. So dude literally has 0 starting pitchers left on his roster. Maybe somebody comes back or something, but he has 0 active starting pitchers right now. I've never seen that before. It's only June 6th. Like, that's tough, man. Dude's in like second place too.
Hell, you got a Matt Moore save on Wednesday night.
What?
You got Matt Moore got a save on Wednesday night, so he didn't
get out of here with that, man. Yeah. He's got Matt Moore in there, and he gets a save. Jeez.
Yep. Talk about run good. So something to keep an eye on there. See what the Tigers do in that situation. But Maeda probably back to the IL. I've been kind of anti Maeda for a while, as people know for sure. So I think that's a time to move on from Kenta if it is an IL stint. Last bit of news I want to mention here, because we talked about like stashing Nuelva. You mentioned you started stashing Tristan Casas. And then the next day, after we talked about that on Tuesday, Casas is doing a fun little interview in the dugout during the Nesson broadcast with the Red Sox. And he mentions he's going to start swinging this weekend. That's the plan, which is good to hear. And his expectations through everything that's going on, Tristan Casas expects to be back playing with the Red Sox by July 1st. So we're a little less than a month away now from seeing Tristan Casas back in our life if there's no setbacks. So that's pretty sweet as well.
Yeah, agreed. I think the if no setbacks is big because Casas was hurt swinging and, like you just said, has not swung yet. So let's see when Casas actually starts swinging. But yes, the timetable alone, if Tristan Casas is on waiver wires, that stash price just went up quite a bit. I think the time to get Casas was a week or two ago, but now great news. Boston, I've seen needs Tristan Casas back in the lineup. The Dom Smith, Garrett Cooper platoon at first base is going about as expected at this point.
Yep. Yeah. Smith's been decent the last three games, but prior to that, oof, not great there, but yep. Not a ton of news since we talked about a ton on Tuesday, which is kind of refreshing, but there'll be more throughout the weekend, so keep an eye on that as you lock in your fab. So let's get to it, Bloomfield. Let's talk week 12 fab. Let's pull the goodies up and let's have some fun this week. Anything new or exciting we need to talk about?
Just another week of this great game that we all love and enjoy. Outside of that, we've got I don't think any international series this week. We do have Cincinnati and Cleveland as the only two, I believe. Yes, the only two teams with five games, and they play each other. So I'm guessing that's like a
battle for Ohio.
Tuesday, Wednesday, battle for Ohio. And you've got a bunch of teams with seven games we'll get through as we go. The White Sox continue to just pludge along with the worst. And I think we're no hit through five or six innings tonight against Boston, by far the worst offense in baseball, while the New York Yankees, 124 WRC plus, are ahead of the Dodgers' best offense in baseball right now. So, again, for the YouTube crowd, for the video crowd, this is like we have this grid up here, the schedule grid, and we've gotten great feedback on it in terms of just like having some visual to kind of watch as folks chat and as we go. So we will go through all 30 teams like normal, man.
All right, let's get crack-a-lackin' on it here. We start with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Six games this week, all in the desert. They get the Angels for three and the wonderful White Sox for three. One lefty, five righties. It's another Jock Jams week ahead. And your boy, McCarthy, might be in play as well, because anytime you can face, well, it's not even that great of an Angels situation, but White Sox, like Woodford on a Sunday afternoon, that's going to be a glorious situation.
If Woodford's still even on the team at this point, like that, I don't know who the White Sox would even plug in, but Woodford got destroyed tonight. I always like to call him Woodford Reserve because that's where he belongs. But yes, Arizona is an excellent schedule. It's awesome. You get those Angels starters, and then the White Sox starters is even sweeter. And yeah, with the five righties, it's Jock Jams and Peterson time. And quick shout out to your boy, Pavin Smith.
Yeah, had a good week.
I'm just trying to
walk off the Giants. I know he had two home runs this week.
He had two home runs off the Giants.
Yeah. Hey, I got you. I get the sarcasm. Appreciate it, buddy. Yeah.
Even for a UVA guy, he's not too bad. And he's starting to play against right-handed pitching. So that's more of like an NL only type of play. I think even in 15 teamers, I don't know if I'd go for Pavin Smith, but at least an option if you're really deep and desperate for a corner. Pavin Smith is at least starting to play more against righties because he's swinging a hot bat.
And something to keep in mind, Geraldo Perdomo has started a rehab assignment on Wednesday. He might return this weekend, if not to begin next week. That's in play. Blaze Alexander's hitting well. Eugenio Suarez did go deep on Thursday. He's been struggling a ton.
Yes.
So like I've been speculating like he could get the DFA treatment or at least a bench. because Jordan Lawler is starting to rehab, and the D-backs already said once he's ready, he will be with the team. So you might get Perdomo and Jordan Lawler back, and at that point, it's going to be tough to play Eugenio Suarez if you're the Diamondbacks. So something to keep in mind as things are, like, Jordan Lawler could be a stash for cheap coming up here. Something to think about, not just for this week's FAB, but if you have room for him with the landscape of the corner infield situation or middle infield. I think he might only be shortstop. I can't remember what he is now. But Jordan Lawler would be a guy to keep on your radar potentially.
Lawler was a top five fantasy prospect for HQ and probably elsewhere entering the season. So it's also a good call. Kind of forgot about him. I almost thought he was out for the year or something. It was a pretty bad early injury.
He's been out for 2 months after his thumb surgery. So okay. I was laughing when I saw the news come. I'm like, dang, it's already been 2 months since that happened. Good Lord. So he's back at it. So keep an eye on that situation. The Atlanta Braves, they have 6 games this week. They go to Baltimore for 3, potentially a Povich sighting, if not Bradish. We'll see. That's like literally that's up in the air. Every time I look at Bradish news, it varies. You have no idea. And then they come home for 3 against Tampa Bay. Lytle, Pepio, Eflin. Not the easiest set of games, but it's the Braves, 2 lefties, 4 righties. But honestly, the Braves offense has been struggle bussing it of late. So probably not a lot to add, but just in general, I want to mention how much they have not been succeeding at the plate.
Yeah, I don't have a ton to add here other than like it would be a nice time for Adam Duvall to start. He did go deep
on Thursday, so that's good.
I am seeing that now. Yeah, okay. So there we go. But on the season, yes, Adam Duvall hitting below 200 with less than 6 homers, or 6 homers now, I guess, in part-time duty. But you would like to see Adam Duvall was my favorite hitter at last week, and maybe I was a little over-aggressive on that, but I do believe in the skills. Just he has not put it together so far this season. So hopefully the home run today for Adam Duvall is a starting point for him.
Most definitely. Baltimore Orioles, they've been clicking on all cylinders these days. 7 games upcoming week here. They won at Tampa Bay on Monday. That's always a good wraparound series. Then they have 6 at home, 3 versus the Atlanta Braves, 3 versus the Philadelphia Phillies for some interleague action, 2 lefties, 5 righties. Honestly, you get Schwellenbach and you get Walker. Everything else is pretty darn tough for the O's this week.
That's a tough schedule for the O's. So for those looking at the schedule grid, the 18% K-minus walk, that's the average K-minus walk of the starting pitchers facing the O's this year. 18% is pretty dark red on the grid because that is a tough crop of starting pitchers. The one thing I have with Baltimore, I'm just curious your thoughts, man. Cedric Mullins
has started
twice over the last 6 games. You just said you can cut him. I'm holding on to 15s.
Yeah.
But it's hard, man. It's.
What if he only plays 1 of 3 games this weekend?
I'd probably give it another week, but I could see dropping him. I mean, you can't hold guys that aren't playing.
No. Like Santander's on fire. Hayes is on fire, but he left Thursday's game. So watch that injury news. Like if Hayes gets.
Oh, damn. He was hitting too.
Yeah, so that could lead to more playing time for Mullins, but like the way Hayes and Santander were hitting so well, there was no room at the end for Mullins, not to mention he just can't hit anything besides Mateo's head these days. So there's really nothing you got going for you there. So I'd like 12s is an easy drop for me. 15s, yes. If you need to hold them, I'd probably already be on to something else, but I get where you're coming from. Just would be tough to like, would you rather have Jake McCarthy or Cedric Mullins?
Damn it, Bubba. All these hard-hitting questions. Probably McCarthy.
So there you go. There you go, folks. Check your leagues. You'll be surprised what might be out there. And that's only a couple teams. I might think of some more names as the show goes on.
Dude, Mullins has a 225 OBP.
Dude, it's brutal.
That is atrocious.
And he's sitting versus righties also now, which is like at one point you're like, okay, platoon, whatever. Right. Okay, we kind of seen that before. But then start sitting versus righties. That's when the concerns, like as Eric Halterman says, if only the Orioles had young talent in the minors waiting to replace Mullins. If only. I think the Orioles in a perfect world are hoping Mullins could hit like 250 and trade him, but he can't even do that. So it's been a rough gig out there. Boston Red Sox, they're playing 6 games this week, all at the comfy confines of Fenway Park. 3 versus Philadelphia, 3 versus the Yankees. Oh, those won't be. Thank God for the pitch clock for those games. That's all I got to say. 6 games, 2 lefties, 4 righties. Most of Boston will be rostered, but I'm going to keep saying Rod Resnetter, folks. Like, he's sitting out there. Tough week like the Wheeler, Sanchez, Nolan, Eel, Rodon, Stroman, have fun with that. But the only guy I can think of is Rhett Snyder potentially.
Yeah, David Hamilton, maybe.
If he's still available, he should be pretty freaking owned by now, I'd hope. But
yeah, that's true. Willie Abreu just went on the IL, so
yeah.
Well, that gives, I guess, he Ref Snyder even more run. Rafael is playing a lot, but that's not much there. I don't know. Yeah, in terms of guys to pick up this week, there's not much there because it is, A, there's not much talent, but that schedule is very brutal.
Yeah, Hamilton's only 53% in OCs, so he's more available than I expected. So definitely be a guy to look at with the injury situations in Boston, that is for sure. Chicago Cubs, they play 6 games this week, 3 at Tampa, 3 at home versus St. Louis, and you get that oh so pretty. 0 lefties, 6 righties on the docket. Not the most terrifying situation, especially that St. Louis series. Gibson, Pallante, Mikolas, Pete Crow Armstrong, Talkman, anything else standing out to you there?
No, you gave Aaron Savali a pass. I thought you'd mention him as why it'd be an easy schedule, but you're a nice guy tonight.
Yeah, I already picked on Chris Bryant. I can't pick on everybody right now.
PCA just hasn't done much. Michael Bush is a lefty who would stand for more playing time, but also hasn't done much. Mike Talkman, still just kind of, even against righties, not playing every single day. So I don't know. I keep saying Pete Crow Armstrong, but like he has to show us something before we pick him up. So even though it's like a really good schedule, I don't see much in terms of like an ad here. I mean, look to see if Ian Happ has been dropped in your 12 teamers. He's been extremely hot lately, but I don't know.
Yeah, Happ would be one if he's 100% owned in 12s and OCs at least.
Okay, he should.
The one I'm curious over the weekend, like, is Christopher Morel's foot injury serious? Does that mean David Boat gets to play every day? Deeper formats, maybe. I'm not like running to go roster Boat or Boatie, but I could see on a good schedule like this, he could run into a couple if things dictate a third baseman in need on your roster. Oh, Chicago White Sox. Do we really need to do this?
Yeah, I was going to say, is it far enough into the season where I can just remove this row from the grid?
That's bad. That's bad. They're on the road at Seattle, at Arizona, 7 games. I don't even want to pick up the guys they just added because they're platooning that. Like, yeah, I'm out.
I mean, they did bring back Oscar Colas, but did not even start tonight against a righty. So I don't know what they're doing. They have someone named Duke Ellis on their team.
Yeah, I called it from Double A.
Don't know who that is.
They stole second base, and they got picked off second base in the 9th inning when they were trying to come back and win. That was fun. And I missed it. I totally missed. I was busy this night. Morel played on Thursday and went deep. So don't worry about him. You're good. Morel's a beast. And he did not steal it. He homered, though. So, yeah, Morel's fine. Sorry. Well, that's what the White Sox do to me. I just don't even
care. We just talk about other teams. Yeah. Whatever.
I was watching the chat. I was like, yeah, the White Sox. Yeah, anything on that, though? Sorry.
No, I have nothing. Yeah. I stopped after Duke Ellis.
You're good. Cincinnati Reds, though. This is fun. We start it's a 5-game week, 2 at home versus Cleveland, then 3 on the road versus Milwaukee. I love how the grid has Koenig doing the Saturday, Sunday, because he does the back-to-back opener. And that might be a real thing still, so that's kind of entertaining. But it just stinks. The Great American Games, it's only 2 of them. It's McKenzie and Bibee, so one okay matchup, one tough one. And then they go on the road to Milwaukee. So anything here for you besides the Marte stash?
Yeah, outside of the Marte stash, not really. Wrote up Jake Fraley for HQ this week. His power has absolutely disappeared. I think has just 1 home run all season, 15 last year. Still hitting for average and stealing bases, but the power has absolutely gone kaput. 3% barrel rate for Jake Fraley. So just a random observation there, but no, I don't think any pickups on Cincinnati this week with the 5 games.
It's tricky. All right, so Michael Ciccone brought it up in the chat, so I'll say it for the White Sox. No jokes, love. He is leading off now for the White Sox. It's just, I can't do it. Cause also we're looking at 5 righties. It's Gilbert, Wu, Miller, Castillo. And then what are you nicknaming Nelson now?
Oh, yeah. It's not my nickname. It's the D-backs social media team calls Ryan Nelson throws a gem, like, for once, and they call him Nelly Nasty.
Nelly Nasty.
Nelly Nasty. God, what a nickname.
I will say this, though, coming into Thursday evening, Jolks was riding an 8-game hitting streak, hitting .333 with one home run. He's not, but like, it's 4 runs scored, 3 RBIs. If you want a deep format, yeah, go for it, but it's not one of those I'm in love with. Let's put it that way.
I'm not. I mean, it's a 28-year-old who's pretty much career minor leaguer. I mean, had 323 plate appearances last year, Corey Jolks for Houston, and stole some bags. So I think there is maybe some stolen base upside here with Corey Jolks, but I don't think. And the strikeout rate has improved recently in the minors, and that has carried over so far. Just a 20% strikeout rate. He's not a .315 hitter. Doesn't have the power for that. I think Corey Jolks is a deep league streamer. I don't get too excited outside of that.
Yeah, stream for sure. Like Gialdi says, Jolks is the wave you ride all the way to the shore. Right. He'll crash, I'm sure, but ride him. Yeah, that's fair. Sure. That's fair, yep. But don't get overly invested on him either. Cleveland Guardians, they're the flip side of the 5-game series, 2 at the Reds, 3 at Toronto, all right-handed pitching. So not a ton there out the gate just because of the schedule, but anything stand out for you?
Nope, not really. Obligatory Will Brennan shout-out in an already week, but with five, it's tough. You could do it. Could definitely do it next. Gossman, Richards, Berríos next weekend. You could throw Will Brennan out there for 3. Might do something, but in general, no.
Yeah, general, no. Colorado Rockies, they have 6 games this week, 3 at Minnesota, 3 at home in Colorado versus Pittsburgh. They get the Jones-Skeens combo in Coors.
Can't wait for that.
6 righties on tap, but oh, man. It's like Ryan Jones, Skeens for sure. Paddix, Lopez, coin toss, Priesters, if he's still in the rotation. It's the Rockies, man. That's rough. That's really like, if Brendan Rodgers is still out there, he's hitting. I'll say that much. Brendan Rodgers continues to hit. I mentioned him last week. He had another good week this week. But that's a tough-looking schedule.
It is. You would think at home, the Coors weekend at home against Pittsburgh. But, let's change our framing of that, given that it's Jared Jones and Paul Skeens. So I am not looking for any Rockies this week. Have you heard anything on Nolan Jones? Is he alive?
He's rehabbing right now. I mentioned it a couple days ago, I think. He came back from, he had the knee injury while he was rehabbing the back situation. He's back playing now. I think the goal is to maybe have him back this weekend, but they just put Bouchard on the IL with a sprained ankle. They put Bryant on the IL and called up Toglia, and I can't remember the rookie's name they called up. So they didn't call Jones up. It was a different Jones, actually. They had not called Nolan Jones up. And that made me kind of wonder how many more games he still needs to get rehabbed.
Tim McLeod in the chat. What's up, Tim? How we doing, man?
Yep.
Tim says another couple thefts for Brenton Doyle tonight. And so, yes, Brenton Doyle from a speed standpoint, even some pop, it's going to hurt your batting average. But O'Doyle might do a couple things. But
O'Doyle is actually the only Rocky, well, Brendan Rodgers now, that I literally start almost every week. Like, Doyle is in my lineup most weeks right now because he's actually producing, almost feels like, I have to double check, a while ago, he's producing better on the road than at home, which was pretty crazy to think about. But he's been pretty steady all season long. The Detroit Tigers, 6 games this week. They get 3 at home against Washington, 3 on the road against Houston, 2 lefties, 4 righties. Like, this Detroit team, it's going to feel like, you know, the Pirates last year and a few others. I'm going to want to roster like players on this team all season, it feels like, throughout certain weeks, but I just can't put my finger on any one just now. Anybody that stands out to you as a pickup, because I'm not on the Malloy train.
And very much up and down. I agree, not on the Malloy train, though. It's weird. He's DH'd every game since he's been up. You'd think they'd want to throw him out in the field. But for as much love as Matt Vierling hasn't really done anything this past week. You know who's been hot? It's Gio Urshela. Just an observation. Observations are not recommendations. We'll put in the disclaimer of this show. I can't see picking anyone up here.
I talked about Gio with Ben on Monday. I picked Gio up a couple weeks ago in a 15 where I needed corner help. And then in the leagues that I had Torkelson this past week, I picked up Gio as well. So that is a guy I am interested. If you need corner infill, he's first base, third base eligible. He'll hit for average, occasional power, not a whole lot else. But that is a good call. He'll play pretty much every day and hit in the middle of the Detroit lineup. So there's something there. Yeah, there's something there, but probably more of a 15 team format or an AL only, but with a slight
20 team, perhaps
slight 12 potentially if you're really, really hurting. Houston Astros, they have six games this week. They go to San Francisco for three, then come home for three against the Detroit Tigers. Get Scooble and Flaherty to finish the week. That's not fun. Two lefties, four righties. Who stands out to you here? Because Jake Meyer should be pretty widely rostered by now, and he's kind of cooled down a little bit anyways.
Cooled down a little bit, but hitting fourth or fifth every day. And who's been really hot is Alex Bregman. For as bad as Alex Bregman started the season, exhibit A of it's a long season and guys who with long track records eventually come back. That's Alex Bregman. Check your waiver wires in like 12 teamers for Yiner Diaz. There was a lot of talk on, do we drop Yiner Diaz? And I know we had questions about that. Yiner Diaz is back, man. I think has had at least three home runs,
three straight games with homers. Yep.
Okay. So that is really good to see. And we talked about him on a previous show. It's really the hard contact was still there, but it's just the ground ball rate was way, way up. So it's nice to see Yiner Diaz kind of get back to his groove and elevate a little bit. Playing catcher and DHing when he's not catching. So not playing every single day, but if Yiner Diaz kind of gets back to what he was last year, I mean, we both liked him as a top 10, speculative top five catcher entering the season. So he seems to be on his way back. So
it was nice to see him start hitting because with all the questions, I'm like, yeah, you can drop Bo Naylor, you can do this. But like, I was always kind of like, no, you're holding Yiner. You're holding Yiner. You're doing your thing. It's one of those I even joked, like, if he could just elevate it like 2 to 5%, like, we're going to see all kinds of bombs. Didn't expect three home runs in a row, but this is the kind of hitter he is. Like, as you mentioned, the hard hit rate and everything, that has been the same, and he's very talented. So stick with Yiner as long as you can.
One other quick Houston-related note, Chaz McCormick still not playing enough to be rosterable. So that's a big whiff for both me and you. We were both high on Chaz entering the year.
Yep, I called 2020 for Chaz, and that is definitely not looking good these days. Just going to put that out there. If he gets 2020, it's going to be one of the best fab pickups later because he should not be rostered right now. Kansas City Royals, they play seven this week, and man, what a set of games here. Four at home versus the Yankees, three at the Los Angeles Dodgers, three lefties, four righties. Good luck, Royals.
Yeah, but it's not like that bad. They don't get Luis Gil. They do get Glass now, but they get like Paxton, Petit, probably not that good. I don't think Stroman's any good. So despite the good May that Marcus Stroman had, so I don't think the schedule is like too bad. I just don't know. I don't know who you pick up. I wish the Royals would play Nelson Velasquez.
Yeah.
They benched him two of the last three games. He's on an absolute heater. I don't get that either. MJ Melendez, that seems to be a ship that has sailed. I don't know why he's still playing every day. And I don't know. I'm hoping for Michael Massey to be coming back soon. I haven't heard anything lately.
I haven't heard anything on him yet.
Outside of that, it's pretty slim pickings for KC despite a seven game week. And even though it's a seven game week, it's that 3-4 split lefty righty. So even like your Kyle Isbell platoon, like, still not all that sexy, but can't really roll with that this week.
Yep, not much you can do with it this week. Hopefully they unleash Nelly. That's all I have to say. Make it happen. Los Angeles Angels, they have six games this week, all on the road, but they're staying west. It's not a frequent flyer mile trip here. Three at the Arizona Diamondbacks, three at the San Francisco Giants. Pretty fun one, though, because Montgomery stinks. Ciccone. Thoughts good and bad. Snell might be back. Miller's an opener. Harrison's up and down. Like, it's an all or nothing
schedule.
Yeah, that's pretty juicy, all things considered. But four lefties, two righties, the flip schedule compared to most. So what are we thinking here? Because, you know, Rengifo was obviously rostered everywhere, so the mascot's taken care of. But anything else for you?
Kevin Pillar is really the only other the only other one. We've talked about Pilar in previous shows, so want to bang that too much, but Kevin Pilar will play against lefties, and they get four of them, and so maybe Pilar plays five or all six games this week, and given the way Kevin Pilar is hitting, that would work. I have no idea why Zach Neto is still hitting eighth for this team. Like, that makes absolutely zero sense. Just, again, an observation.
But yeah, that just makes sense in line with what Ron Washington's doing with most of that lineup. That's tough. Yeah, Joe Arico says maybe it's a get-right week for Adele. That could be a good spot for him as well. Yep. We'll have to kind of see how that takes place. But, yeah, it's a good schedule if the Angels bats are to wake up. And I love your Neto call because, dude's so good. Like, even in leagues where I have middle infield pretty much taken care of, I still have Neto on my bench because I don't want my rest of my league to roster him right about now. Like, he's just – I had him when guys were hurt, and now he's back, and I'm just keeping Neto on my bench. Like, that's just not a drop for me these days.
Hitting between Mickey Moniak and Kyren Paris. So you got to take advantage of that while you can.
Man, are Kyren Paris baseball player or center? Right. That's a fun one.
Yeah.
Los Angeles Dodgers, one of the best offenses in all of baseball. They have six games this week, all at Chavez Ravine. They have the Texas Rangers for three, the Royals for three, one lefty, five righties. So you don't need to add Miguel Vargas. That's definitely something you don't need to worry about this week. But other than that, it's pretty tricky because I don't want Gavin Lux. I don't want Jason Hayward. You're pretty much limited on the situation right now.
Yeah, agreed. Trying to see what Andy Pajes has done recently. I feel like he's turned things around a little bit.
Slowly getting going. I will say that.
But still getting playing time. Pretty much playing center field every day for the Dodgers. So definitely has slowed. But again, this is Andy Pajes' first extended time in the majors. There are going to be adjustment periods. It's nice to see him at least maybe adjust back over this past week. And the Dodgers give him that ability to by playing him in center field every day. So again, not like going out like crazy to call Andy Pajes as a breakout guy or whatever, but someone on the Dodgers playing every day if he's available is interesting to me.
Yeah, I know we talked about him like a couple weeks ago and people are getting concerned. It feels like the old strategy. Okay, he proved he can hit. The pitchers made adjustments. He struggled, but it feels like he might be making those adjustments back, which is very, very good to see. Miami Marlins, they have six games this week, all on the road. Three at the Mets, three at the Nats, four lefties, two righties. Outside of maybe Tyler McGill, if you want to give Severino a nod, and Mackenzie Gore, this looks like a pretty fun week if you have some, let's say, right-handed Marlins hitters.
It's a week of rock fights. Yeah. I don't even know who hers is.
He's a prospect. Just got called to Trevor Williams, but
is he a good prospect?
He's not bad.
I should obviously look this up before the show, but this looks like if Miami's going to score any runs, this is it. You mentioned righties on the Marlins, like good week for them, but maybe it's a get right. We just talked about a get right week for Joe Adell. Could this be a get right week for Jake Berger,
who might be hurt? If his side's okay.
Yeah, who might be hurt? Brian De La Cruz is hitting second. And so that in a lefty heavy week could be good. It's not a week for Jesus Sanchez or my guy Nick Gordon. Otto Lopez. Always have to mention Otto Lopez. He continues to hit, man.
He's a very good, he's like a little mini Luis Urias. Like, no one's close to Luis Urias, but he hits for average, scores some runs, not a whole lot else. Hers made his debut on the 4th, 2 days ago on Tuesday. Four innings, four earned, three Ks versus the Mets. So he gets to do that again. But in the minor leagues, he had a 3.75 ERA over nine starts with 42 Ks and 36 innings pitched. So he's one of the Nats' higher pitching prospects. Doesn't probably speak well of the Nats, but that the prospect people are excited when he got called up. Let's put it that way.
Always excited. Always excited.
All that pedigree talk. Milwaukee Brewers, they have six games this week, all at home. Three against Toronto, three against Cincinnati, three lefties, three righties. Makes life very difficult in the streaming game there, Mr. Bloomfield.
It does, and that makes really picking up any Brewers a tall task this week. I wouldn't do it. It's fascinating to see Jackson Churio now really not playing. Well, playing mostly just against lefties. He slipped back into a platoon role. That's pretty rough.
Yep, he could be another one of the exciting prospects that'll find AAA this season, because eventually Garrett Mitchell's coming back, folks, and someone's going to have to go on that one. So we'll have to wait and see. Minnesota Twins, they have 7 games this week, all at home. They get the Rockies for 3, which is always nice. And then they get the A's for 4, which could be nice. 2 lefties, 5 righties. You know what to do, folks. John Larnick, Kirilloff, Kepler. Get them in. Get them going. Let's have some fun.
Do we have to strike Edouard Julien from the hockey team here, from the shift change? He's gone. So, yes, get your Larnack and Kepler for sure, and to a little bit of a lesser extent, Alex Kirilloff. But, yeah, 5 games against a really, really nice schedule. I mean, there is nobody opposing the Twins this week that I'm really all that concerned about. So, really good schedule for the Twins. What do you think? 4 games played, 4 homers for Royce Lewis out of 7?
That sounds about right, since they're giving him the 2 on. He's almost got the NBA schedule going for him, so he'll be good.
Had to play KU with your tweet earlier today, calling him soft.
At least DH the kid. Come on. One guy I will mention, because we joke about the platoon, because this is the hockey team. Jose Miranda's playing against everybody. He's DHing, playing first and third. He's only 43% rostered in OCs. He's definitely worth the look as a corner infielder. I wouldn't sleep on him too long. Like, he's very formidable and a great matchup of pitchers, like you mentioned. So he should play, I'd probably say, at least 6 of those 7 games.
I need to change my team with Miranda, because, like, I'd never really liked Jose Miranda. Yeah. But this year, the plate skills, he's always been kind of like, for me, a batting average, like an empty batting average guy with good plate skills. But this year we are seeing a little bit more power, 7% barrel rate in over 158 plate appearances, 6 homers on those 7 barrels. So at least a little bit more pop for Jose Miranda. And like you said, he was the one who stayed when Royce Lewis came back and not Edouard Julien. So that obviously means a ton.
Yep, bodes well. New York Mets, they have 6 games this week at home, 3 versus Miami, 3 versus San Diego, 3 lefties, 3 righties. And I'm going to say this nicely, the Mets offense is, outside of the main culprits, ain't too exciting.
I'll give a little shout to Mark Vientos, the fresh maker.
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows my love there. But
has been. Actually, a lot of the Mets have been on fire lately.
Well, Lindor, Alonso.
Lindor's back. Alonso's hitting. JD's hit pretty well. Vientos has been hot. I shouldn't say on fire, but
they're playing well.
What's Vientos in 12 teamers? He's got to be. Is he widely?
I'll let you know.
86%. 86%.
Yeah. So pretty much. Should be getting towards 100 by the end of this week, I'd hope.
Yeah, he's been really good, and Brett Beatty is not a threat at the moment. Vientos playing every single day against lefties and righties, hitting 6 at third base.
Yeah, don't be excited just because you see Brett Beatty in London this weekend. They get extra players because they're in London, so that's why he's with the team. Don't get too excited on that one. All right, the New York Yankees get 7 games this week, all on the road. 3 at Kansas City, or no, 4 at Kansas City, 3 at Boston, 1 lefty, 6 righties. Jason Dominguez, we talked about that one until we're blue in the face already. But anybody else, spark your curiosity with the New York Yankees here?
Get right week for Anthony Rizzo, man. It's gotta be.
You said that like, past week.
I know. And it just hasn't happened. He looks bad.
Like, hey, for those that believe in my jinx, I did write him up as a follower this week in my riser and follower column. Last time I did that.
My labor team thanks you. I tried to actively cut Rizzo in labor this week, but to what I was talking about earlier.
The replacements
at corner, it's just, especially in 15 teamers, I don't know what it is in 12s. There's just nothing. Like, Rizzo was the best option compared to the alternative. So I keep rolling him out there, and I guess I will with this schedule.
Well, even in 12, that's why we kind of talked, before about outfield depth. The corner infield is still tough. That's why I do have Miranda on a few teams. I love when Vientos came up and got his job. Like, there's some tricky, tricky situations when it comes to corner infield. So I still have Rizzo on my bench in formats because I'm similar boat. Even in 12s, I haven't found a justification to get rid of him just yet.
Real quick, Stephen Crawford in the chat, going back to the Mets. Francisco Alvarez may be back from the IL next week, so that
will be on Tuesday.
I think they tried to get him to go to London, but didn't make the trip. So, but next week for Alvarez is awesome.
Yep, they announced Tuesday for Mr. Francisco Alvarez. So you got that one going for you. Oakland Athletics, man alive, 7 games this week, all on the road. You get the Padres for 3, Minnesota for 3, 7 right-handed pitchers. So if you like guys like Abraham Toro, JJ Bleday, basically if you're in deeper formats, these are some guys that you could like keep in mind. Tough pitching schedule, though.
Is it? Yeah. 17% K minus walk with, yeah, Cease, Ober, Pablo Lopez. Yeah, Michael King. Miguel Andujar, I think, warrants a mention here.
Yep.
Given the 341 start through 42 plate appearances with 2 home runs and a steal somehow. I will never truly know what happened to Miguel Andujar after 2018. I guess his shoulder's been messed up, but just a really weird career path after an awesome 2018 season. But hitting second every day, and I think even though he's right-handed, I think we'll play 7 games. Maybe just an off day or something, but we'll get a ton of playing time for Miguel Andujar. So Miguel Andujar is, I think he qualifies at third base, so that's useful. That's useful and interesting, which I say way too often.
And NFBC's.
Oh, no, he's just outfield in NFBC. Yep. Okay. Well, so, just another outfielder to freaking to do, and no corner infielders. Just not there right now. JJ Bleday, I think you mentioned him.
Yep.
Awesome pickup for this week.
Abraham Toro could be a corner infielder for you.
Yeah. No thanks. I'll pass.
Don't seem that excited. Gotcha. All right, Philadelphia Phillies, they have 6 games this week, all on the road as well. 3 at Boston, 3 at Baltimore for the fighting Phils, whose offense is just redonkulous, but an interesting week. Pivetta, Houck, Burns, so 3 really tough ones, 3 kind of up-in-the-air ones. What do you like it in Philadelphia with 1 lefty and 5 righties?
Well, we gotta follow up here. We got to circle back to our
waiting on this one.
To our guy from last week's show, Edmundo Sosa. What did we do? What do you do?
I'm pulling it up as we speak since you
we got the last week. Up. All right. The last week for Edmundo Sosa, 17, the last 7 days, 17 at bats, 1 home run, 3 RBI, hitting .235. So not an awful week, but
what day?
Not worth stopping the show for 5 minutes over.
So I'm going to go back to, what'd you go, May 30th?
I don't know. I just used Baseball HQ last 7 days.
Oh, because I'm using since the 31st. He's played 5 games over that stretch. He's hitting, 235 with a home run, 23.5% K rate. He's hitting 4 out of 5 games, just 1 hit in each game.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Dude, David Dahl is back.
Yeah, no.
No, thank you. Really just a short side platooner. So, I mean, in all honesty, like Edmundo Sosa is still a decent ad. I don't see any other ads for.
Yeah. The Phillies have kind of their dudes. Like, there's really no moving around. They really don't platoon a ton there. Outside of a couple. So nothing to get too excited about here. Eric Halterman in the chat says, do we care about Max Schumann? I do not. There's not a ton for me to like there. Maybe he'll be worth a stream from time to time, but I haven't seen anything to get too excited about, and I watch too many A's games out here on the West Coast. Very streaky, very, very streaky. He had the 4-hit game 3 games ago on June 1st for him 3 games ago. Other than that, it's been Edmundo Sosa like. So there you go. I'll help you out there, Bloomfield. Edmundo Sosa like.
I like that one. That was good.
Yeah. Pittsburgh Pirates, they play 6 games this week, all on the road. 3 at St. Louis, 3 at Colorado, where they get to face Feltner, Block, and Hudson.
Whew. Let's go.
Jack Sawinski season. Lefties and 5 righties. Captain Jack, raise the flag, buddy.
Yeah, Captain Jack homered off of Glasnow this week.
Yep.
O'Neill Cruz week, of course, always. Every week is O'Neill Cruz week.
I like how there was a tone of a question in that O'Neill Cruz week.
Hey, 3-run homer for my man today, and a bag, I think, too. So just running away with it over Bo Bichette.
Our
beer bet. Pirates, other Pirates, Nick Gonzalez.
Connor
Joe, you kidding me?
Hitting at the top, like in the middle of the order. You mentioned he's like a top 10 fantasy first baseman this year.
Yeah, top 12 or something. No, you can't do Connor Joe, man. He's been bad lately.
That Colorado match, Hey, since May 1st, he's hitting 255 with three homers.
You say like that's a good thing. That's a that's like 5 weeks. Dude, that's terrible.
Yeah, I'm just trying to justify some cooler streams here. Come on.
Pittsburgh only gets one lefty this week. I mean, Connor not.
Since May 23rd. Okay, I'll shrink it for you here. He's played 11 games. He's hitting 286 over his last 11 games.
Oh, good for Connor Joe.
Oh, this is going to be one. We're going to talk about this one next week. But this is last week was a Minnesota, so this week it's Connor Joe.
I mean, he didn't even start today. He doesn't play all the time against righties. They only get one lefty this week, so
he's going into Colorado. Let's go.
Nick Gonzalez
this week.
No, you're not getting Rowdy. You're getting Nick Gonzalez if he's available. Shouldn't be. And Henry Davis, we talked about, I think, on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But is back and playing. He started two of the three games at catcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So maybe Henry Davis at Coors is a good thing. I know you don't like him, but.
No. Nick Gonzalez has 84% rostered in an NPC OC, so. Kind of should be gone by the end of this week. And look, it's even Sarah Sanchez mentions it. Colorado is a revenge game for Connor Joe.
Good point. Did not factor in the revenge game scenario, but still, come on.
San Diego Padres, they get six games this week, three at home versus Oakland, three at the New York Mets, three lefties, three righties. Padres, it's that, like I talked about it on Tuesday, I look at their WRC pluses, they don't strike out a ton. But every time I see one of their games, I'm like, it's 3-2, it's 4-3, and it's just like, how is this fantasy fun? And it's just, it's not for me. And the three lefties, three righties really makes this not an exciting week for me.
Well, and they just don't have, I mean, everyone is rostered pretty much.
Yeah.
Outside of your David Peralta, Donovan Solano platoon, which you don't want to go anywhere near. So I don't, there's not much here from an actual like actionable thing this weekend for Fab.
All right. San Francisco Giants, they got six games this week, all at home. Three versus Houston, three versus the Angels, four lefties, two righties. So if you ever had a Wilmer Flores week, you got him here. Elliot Ramos is still widely available, who I love. Casey Schmidt is swinging it really well. So if you want to ride that train for a middle infielder while you can, like there's a few options out there this week with the four lefties and two righties and a pretty favorable set of matchups too.
It might be a 3-3. It's got Sandoval listed twice at the end. Sometimes that happens. Gotcha. RotoWire's got 3-3. So maybe it's I don't know, still Wilmer Flores just continues to hit.
Yeah. I think he's supposed to be the primary first baseman anyways with Wade out. So
yeah,
he'll do it.
Just you know, since I like to bust your balls all the time, quick shout out on your Elliot Ramos over Luis Matos call a couple weeks ago when Matos was the Fab darling and Ramos was not. And now Ramos is playing every day and hitting quite well. So that's turned out pretty well for you, man.
Yeah, that worked out well because I got him cheap. He's still – Elliot Ramos is still only 27% rostered in OCs. Like, that needs to change, folks, because I want to say I have him. And I don't have him in this league, but I have him in most leagues where I need outfielders. So I've already done that dance. But I would fix that if I was you guys, especially with this schedule coming up.
Agreed.
He's hitting towards the top of the order. It's nice.
Yep, top of the order, at least against lefties, and playing every day either in left or right. Like he's locked in
good,
right now.
Good defensively too, so he's going to stay out there.
Whoa, like, who is Trenton Brooks?
They called him up to be another first baseman, a lefty rookie. He's not playing every day. He'll get a few at-bats first right-handed pitching, but it's pretty much Wilmer's job. Yeah, right. Don't get too excited about that one. Just let that one go. Like, pretend you never saw it. Seattle Mariners, seven games this week, all at home. They get the Chicago White Sox for four to start the week. Yeah. That's pretty much, I could end the sentence there if you guys would like. Three against the Rangers after that. But that four-game first half of the week versus the Chicago White Sox, two lefties, five righties. It looks like on paper it's three righties out of the four of the White Sox. Crochet is a good start. But if you can find some Mariners, have some fun, folks.
Yeah, I mean, even the whole week. Yeah, you take Crochet out, it's like, good God. Woodford and Don't Nostrimi back-to-back. That's pure gold. I don't know who you pick up, though. Like,
yeah, you don't. There's not much.
Yeah, you could maybe do some Dominic Canzone, but he hasn't really done much of anything. They signed Victor Robles this week. Imagine that.
Got the start on Thursday.
Got the start on Thursday, but I think that's a platoon situation.
It is.
I think
they flat out said it's a platoon. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's only going to play. Ryan Bliss is young.
He's playing quite blissfully when he's on the field.
Jesus. I mean, I don't even know if he is or not. Like he could.
He runs a ton. He runs.
He does run. I think he's got two or three steals already. So he does have some speed to him, but hitting 091 through, well, just 15 plate appearances. So who knows? But Ryan Bliss, I don't think is even playing enough to go after. Like Dylan Moore is playing second base against righties instead of Ryan Bliss, who's pretty much just playing against lefties. So despite the good schedule and the four against the White Sox,
I got someone for you. Well, if he's available. He's 81% rostered, no Cs. This could be a good week for Luke Raley.
Yeah.
Luke Raley. That'd be one I definitely keep an eye on that one. Going back to Elliot Ramos real quick, Eric Halterman had a question. Is Ramos just decent and hot, or is he maybe actually good? He's actually good. He's been good in the minors. He's finally getting regular reps. He will slump again probably because he's young and that's what they do, but I think he's actually really, really good. And the fact he's walking now, he strikes out too much. He still strikes out way too much. I will admit that full-heartedly, but he makes very hard contact, and he actually started to walk more of late, which is a good sign of things. So I think he's actually really good. That's not my homer bias because I will be 100% honest about how bad the Giants are.
Yes, you've been on Ramos since the top, and we're very upfront about Ramos over Luis Matos. Real quick, since we struggle to find guys to pick up on the Mariners, the M's are just so brutal, Joe Rico says in the chat. Yes, their rotation I don't want to say wasting a rotation because they are in first in the AL West. They got to trade for a hitter. They need to trade for a hitter this summer. That rotation is just too good to not take advantage of. But streaming against the Mariners, I have streamed this past week Griffin Canning and I think Joey Estes on the A's.
He was perfect through six, I believe, versus
them. Yeah, streamed them both against the Mariners and lived to tell about it. So,
yeah. For those that play DFS, I've been using cheap starters. I use the A starters versus the Mariners this week. Like they are affordable. Something to keep in mind in the future.
Yep.
St. Louis Cardinals, they have six games this week. Three against Pittsburgh, three at the Cubbies. That'll be a fun one in Wrigley. Little Cubs-Cardinals. I know Sarah Sanchez will probably be there front and center having some fun. Two lefties, five righties. So it goes back to our Burleson, who's been just awesome pretty much since we started talking about him a few weeks ago. I'm not saying we're the reason he's awesome, but we've been on that train for quite a bit here. Who else are you looking for there? Because Donovan's back and playing regularly. Gorman's awesome if he's still not available, which he shouldn't be. But like Burleson's the only one that might be available that comes to mind.
Yeah, Mason Wynn's been really good too.
Big Mason Wynn fan.
You've been on him. We've talked about Burleson enough. But yeah, Burleson now being elevated to second in the order, which for someone who is mostly a batting average guy, you need those counting stats to kind of compile, and hitting second for Alec Burleson is a great way to do that. Nolan Gorman, yes, very hot, still very worried. He strikes out all the time. I don't know how sustainable that is, but you ride Nolan Gorman while you can. This is one of the tougher pitching schedules of anybody with the Cardinals going against Skeens, Ben Brown, Imanaga. And really no like cakewalks, maybe Bailey Falter. But I don't know. I don't see too much in terms of guys you're picking up here.
Yeah, the Gorman one's fun. They got the BABIP's like 460, striking out over 40% of the time. Yeah. It's like when Ben and I talked about him on Monday, you just look at it and go, it's fun, it's exciting, it's terrifying at the same time. So get at it. And I laugh because Gorman had those three straight games of home runs. Well, Alec Burleson hit home runs in each of those games too, which is pretty fun. And like, I kind of went under the radar in the production department. So get yourself some Burleson if you can. Tampa Bay Rays, they have seven games this week. They have the wraparound, one game versus Baltimore at home, three at home versus the Cubbies, and then three at the Atlanta Braves. Pretty overall, outside of basically Max Fried and maybe Steele if he's figured it out, a pretty nice schedule for Tampa Bay. Two lefties, five righties. If you can find something you like to stream on this club, this is not a horrible schedule with seven games. It's just tough now with Josh Lowe back in the mix, Brandon Lau back in the mix. They're getting back to that heavy rotation of platoon situations here.
Yeah, it's like it's totally team platoon. So against righties, it's Lau, Lowe, Palacios, against lefties, it's Ahmed Rosario, DeLuca, and Harold Ramirez. So the lefties have it this week with five righties for Tampa. But I mean, what's Brandon Lau? Is he widely rostered? I keep forgetting. He keeps coming, getting hurt and coming back. He's 69%, Brandon Lau. So I think while Brandon Lau is healthy and facing right-handed pitching, that's an attractive move. Richie Palacios, I feel, hasn't really done much of anything lately. So I don't know what else there really is here.
Yeah, he's not. That's the bummer of it all. This is like one of those weeks that would have been nice if there's a few more injuries on Tampa to pick through, but yeah. Nothing really there.
Like, I want Ahmed Rosario to play every day, man.
Yeah, that's where I was kind of hinting at, because I know your thoughts there. It also helped Richie was even playing second base and stuff. Like, there's more in play in those scenarios. Texas Rangers, they have six games this week, all on the road, three at the Dodgers, three at that wonderful Mariners team. So they get Yamamoto, Kirby, Gilbert, Wood in the week. Oof. Oof. That is just wow. There's not a whole lot you can stream in Texas, though. So what do you like in here?
Yeah, to have a 16% K minus walk, including James Paxton as your opponents, that's pretty damn tough. So yes, very, very difficult week for the Rangers. I'm not looking to pick anyone up here. An observation that Nathaniel Lowe is now a platoon bat, which is kind of for me hard to wrap my head around, because he has been one of the more stable first basemen last few years. But I don't know.
That's a good call, because I remember in like one league I dropped Rizzo for Lowe and it felt really good for a while. And now it's like, I guess it's still better because he's not playing half the game, so he can't hurt me as bad as Rizzo. But it's both pretty bad out there these days.
Yep.
A couple more here. Toronto Blue Jays, six games this week, three at Milwaukee, three at home versus Cleveland. For now, it's three lefties, three righties. There's a couple moving parts in these sections here. But on paper, the best K-to-walk matchup of the week for offense. Problem is, it's three lefties, three righties, so not a whole lot of streamability in this one. So Davis Schneider, if he's still available, I guess.
Yeah, Schneider's kind of cooled a little bit lately.
It's what he does, though. Just be prepared for that.
Vlad's starting to heat up.
He is. My Tout Wars team did notice that.
Justin Turner's been really bad. This could be a get-right week for him and George Springer.
Springer's been heating up. He's been playing really well.
Yeah, so Springer's probably universally.
He should be.
Yes, like, he's 100% in 12. So yeah. People aren't giving up on him, rightfully so. Where's Errico at? Take the Jays. Leave them out by the curb with the rest of the rubbish. Damn. Tough. Yeah. Tough scene up north.
Yeah, so it'll be an interesting week. IKF's available for those that care. Schneider does destroy left-handed pitching, so that could be a fun get-right spot as well. He destroys lefties.
And the schedule is awesome. It's going to be a good week for you, Joe. I can sense it now.
Yep. I'd go. Come on, you get to end the week with Cookie Carrasco. You guys are putting up at least 12, so have some fun. Washington Nationals, they wrap us up here. Six games, three at the Tigers, three at home versus the Marlins, two lefties, four righties. You have an amazing base stealer in Jesse Winker. You have Eddie Rosario. Like, it's just tricky, though, because Winker should be pretty well rostered. Rosario's like calmed down. I dropped him last week.
Yes, Rosario.
I dropped him last week. Yeah. So what do you like in here? Because it's not a lot of, like, Abrams is banged up. It's rough.
Yeah. I mean, Lane Thomas is, well, I guess he's been back now.
He's awesome.
Speaking of cool, I haven't heard much from Jacob Young lately.
Nope, being pretty quiet.
So, no, there's nothing I'm really looking at here for ads for the Nats. It's actually a horrendous lineup after CJ Abrams and Lane Thomas. Maybe Keibert Ruiz. And Winker's been, like you said, like the second coming of Ricky Henderson this year, but it's a pitcher stream lineup for sure this year.
Yep, most definitely. That'll wrap up our 30-team schedule preview for week 12, Mr. Bloomfield. So let's head over to the CBS grid and realize that we mentioned all of the hitters already.
How'd we do? That's right.
Andujar, Vientos, Nuelvi, Elliott. We didn't mention Norby, but he's not playing every day. So I just can't bring myself to that. Ty France is getting better. What are your thoughts on Ty France? We didn't talk about him.
I have always liked Ty France, and not always, but I like Ty France entering the season. And the skills look really good. 23% K rate, 9% barrel rate playing every day. One of the few, I don't even want to say bright spots in Seattle's lineup, but like non-cloudy spots in Seattle's lineup. So, and again, given the lack of anything in the corner infield free agent pool, Ty France is interesting, though. He does barely make this list at 48% rostered in CBS. So that
I want to ask you, would you drop Anthony Rizzo for Ty France?
Yeah, I would. Okay, I would.
Yep. Would you drop Anthony Rizzo for the red hot Josh Bell?
That's closer. I'd probably drop Rizzo for Josh Bell.
I think I would too. It's Rizzo's at that point where you just stream if you have to. At this point, it's gotten that bad. David Hamilton, we talked about. Henry Davis, Jake Myers, we talked about in nauseam over recent weeks. There's Nelly, Miranda. Didn't talk Kutch. Don't really understand the Kutch appeal outside of maybe Coors Field.
The power, and he homers in every Paul Skeen start. But that's about
it. Got that going for you in daily leagues. That's fun.
Tyler Freeman. We talked about Tyler Freeman a little last week with Kwan coming back. I don't know if he has been playing every day. We did miss him.
He came. I did notice he played the first game back. I have not paid attention since then.
Freeman has started since Kwan came back, has started all but one game.
That's not bad.
So did not start on Thursday, but
yeah, he hit second, first, second, eighth. So okay. moving around.
Here's your guy, Edmundo Sosa. Yeah. We talked about Jock Peterson. He's a riser. JJ Blade with the 7 righties for Oakland. That's a nice stream. Jonathan India. I think you picked up a bunch of India, didn't you?
I did last week. Anywhere I saw him, he was one of my favorite targets, and that's worked out. Like we talked about on the show last week. 3 at Colorado, 4 at home in Great American. Like,
yeah,
come on. Like, giddy up.
However, that is now reversed this week with Cincinnati just getting those 5 games. So, and honestly, you look at the skills here on the grid, a 3% barrel rate. It's not making really any hard contact, but I don't know.
He's hit at least 1, if not 2 home runs this week, so I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, and the park, that park can cure a lot of ills. So if you had to name like a top 3 or 5 hitters this week to add based on who is on the CBS list, who would you roll with?
CBS list.
Mark Vientos for me, yes, going up from 14 to 41%. He's probably my favorite add. I mean, a 20% K rate, 12% barrel rate is freaking elite.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Ramos would be in your top 5. Myers, yep. Probably.
Yeah. I like Myers. I don't know. I get it. Another guy, I would go to David Hamilton for your middle infield help, especially for speed. For I like bags. Him a lot.
Yep.
I like him a lot. So that's 4. And then it's kind of a toss up between Miranda, Ty France, and Miguel Andujar, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you?
I mean, I agree with those. I don't really have anyone to add. It's interesting. There is not really any speed sources. Just looking down the right column, which is the stolen base attempt rate. It's David Hamilton. It's some Tyler Freeman. And Pico Armstrong is running. So we did mention PCA potentially in a righty-heavy week for the Cubs. If you need bags, you may want to go in that direction. Because outside of that, not really many guys who run available on waivers. So
not at all. Let's go to the pitching side of things here. Jimmy Garcia is the new closer for now in Toronto. So that was popular, of course.
Yep.
But then you had like Tyler McGill, Jake Irvin. They were 2 steps this past week. That'll aid in it. Are you buying Spencer Arrighetti's improvements?
I don't think so, but he is missing bats. He is missing bats and has gotten better as the season goes on. So I shouldn't let Spaghetti's first few starts color my analysis. He has been better. I'd like to see. I should pull up the game log. Has the competition been any easier? I don't know.
I can't remember off the top of my head. But,
you should know these things, man.
Hunter Brown's been doing great, so Arrighetti's starting to slowly follow his rule as well.
Arrighetti's last few starts versus Oakland, versus Milwaukee, at Oakland, at Seattle, versus St. Louis. So pretty easy, but and God, Arrighetti has 2 or 3 walks in every single one of his 10 starts this year.
That makes sense with a 37% ball rate. Could probably do that to you.
Yep, not throwing enough strikes.
And that's why he's got a 14% K to walk. We hit on Jeremiah Estrada last week. I definitely had him in waterfalls, got him in a couple 15s. I don't understand the Lorenzen love. That one makes no sense at all to me. Other than that, man, we didn't talk Adam Mazur. That's an interesting one. If he sticks in the San Diego rotation, because he actually gets two steps this week. He's going to pitch on Sunday as well. So next week, he would technically, if he sticks, because Darvish could be back. Yeah, right now, RotoWire has Darvish back on Saturday. That would have been Mazur's spot. So that could be, you know, maybe reason to avoid that situation.
Yeah, weird line in Mazur's debut. Just two hits over six innings, but four walks, two Ks. I think I'd go Povich over Adam Mazur. But yeah, lukewarm really on both of them, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm not over the moon with either one. Cody Poteet, I'd probably rather take a chance on him, weirdly enough, and I'm not that excited about him either. But
although, and he may not even have a spot in the rotation for very long because Cole is he's rehabbing his way back.
But 2 to 3 more rehab starts for Cole. The one I like is all the way at the bottom. Luis Medina, everybody.
Okay.
Luis Medina. I have him in pretty much, not all, but a majority of my draft and hold formats. I like him that much. I love what we saw out of him in his first stint, in his first, he came out of the bullpen, but I'm pulling it up right now to give you guys a full rundown here. But he faced Atlanta through 5 2/3. He did get the start. 5 2/3, no earned runs, 6 strikeouts. Looked very, very strong in that outing. What I love to see, for one, is he had a 12.4% swinging strike in that outing against that Braves offense. 46.2% ground ball rate, which, you know, is not over 50, but still pretty darn high, which will help keep the ball in the ballpark. Walks were always an issue for him. He still had 2 walks in that game. But the stuff has been next to elite for him most of his career. It's been a command issue thing for him. So Medina is one of those dudes that I'd be willing to take a chance on now, because if he throws 1 or 2 more good starts, you're going to have to spend a lot of money. So he's a guy I would definitely start with. As bad as pitching is these days, I would be very interested in a guy like Luis Medina.
I'll continue the I'll piggyback the Oakland starter trend and go Joey Estes, and not just because I streamed him against Seattle. Yeah, I was just talking about that. Seattle. But decent skills, 18% K-minus walk, throw strikes, misses bats, only 7% rostered. Boo. I think Joey Estes, he may be a two-step next week, so we might talk about him. He is a two-step next week at San Diego, at Minnesota, so not the easiest, but I think I'd roll with that. David Peterson is on this list, up from 4 to 7%. Joe Rico in the chat, Peterson versus Miami is a beauty. So presumably, I guess that means Peterson's next starts against the Marlins. So that's always a good thing if you're looking to stream there. So Peterson in deeper leagues, David Peterson of the Mets is I've always kind of liked
it. No, I'm with you. I'm with you on Peterson too. Yep. Yeah, if you look at, I know we can't rely on everything, but Peterson made a bunch of rehab starts from rookie ball to the big, so it's scattered against talent-wise. But, dude, he struck out everybody in his rehab, struck them all out. It was an impressive rehab. Like, we've seen a bunch of guys rehabbing this year, and not many have looked that good. It was pretty damn impressive. So I'm kind of with you on Peterson as another guy. He's another, not like, kind of like Medina, where walks have always been an issue for Peterson. But in those starts where he doesn't walk guys, we see him rack up 8, 9, 10 Ks. We've seen it many times from him. So I'm with you on that one as well.
Real quick, Spencer Schwellenbach of the Atlanta Braves through 2 starts. Again, tiny samples, but the per pitch metrics are looking good, a 12% swinging strike and a 28% ball rate. So again, you have 10 innings to work with here, but at least in those 10 innings, Schwellenbach is missing some bats and getting throwing strikes. So I don't know. I think for once we actually have a few, like,
we have a couple
deep league options here.
We definitely do. Like, and this is showing Tyler McGill's 45% in CBS. Keep racking that up, folks. Jake Irvin, keep racking that up to 35.
Yep.
Both those guys are very good. Not as available in your NFBC formats. Tyler McGill is 97% rostered in OCs, and Jake Irvin is only 35% though. So he's one that you could keep an eye on. He's rostered in my OC I'm looking at right now, but he could definitely be an option as well. All right, let's talk two steps for the week here, going game, team by team to have some fun here. And we start with Jordan Montgomery, who's been atrocious. And he gets the Angels and the White Sox.
Look at the schedule. Oh, my God.
Start him up. You got to. If you don't do it now, you drop him.
I guess you have to do that, right? I immediately said no, and I didn't look at the opponents. Holy hell.
Yep. Angels and White Sox. Giddy up. I
don't always agree with it. If you don't start him, you need to drop him in a two-step. But, like, if you're not starting Jordan Montgomery, what are you doing here?
Yeah, this is the week, folks. So make it happen. Otherwise, and if he fails you now, just you can pull the pin pretty quickly at this point. It's Philadelphia next week, so yeah, you can the week after you can pull the pin. Atlanta Braves got Schwellenbach at Baltimore versus Tampa Bay.
Yeah, after I just talked him up a little bit while you're shaking your head, I don't think you're doing it right.
15 team only, if at all. I'm just not a Schwellenbach guy, but if you are, 15 team only.
The Baltimore start just scares the hell out of me. They're so good.
White hot right now.
And they're so hard to pitch against. They're just so patient. Yep. I agree. I think in 15s, it's a 50-50 play. In 12s, no way. I think the Baltimore start's too tough.
Speaking of Baltimore, you got Corbin Burns at Tampa versus Philly. Yes. Albert Suarez versus Atlanta versus Philly. That's a no for me.
That's a no, dog. Despite the 183 ERA, I can see that. I can see that heading north.
Unless he goes full freaking Trevor on us, Trevor Williams, that's not happening. Boston, Cutter Crawford, Philadelphia, and the Yankees. That's a tough two-step, but you got to do it.
Yeah, it's a tough two-step, but agree. You got to do it.
Cincinnati, Hunter Green at Great American versus the Guardians, and then potentially with the off day at Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So four-man rotation.
Yeah, you do it.
Cleveland doesn't have one. Colorado will pass. White Sox will pass. Detroit, Flaherty, you're playing him for sure.
Yep.
Houston, Spencer, Arrigetti at the Giants versus Detroit. I think you fire that bad boy up.
Oh, you definitely fire that bad boy up.
He fired that bad. We're eating some pasta this week, folks.
Against your squad on Monday, are you kidding me? And then Detroit. Let's go. And it's against Jack Flaherty. You know they're not going to get a win.
Get the Chianti out with a little spicy marinara. Let's have some fun this week.
That's right. Yeah, I definitely like Arrigetti as a two-stepper there. That's nice.
There's some streaming two-steps this week. They're going to light the world on fire on Monday. It's going to be fun. Kansas City, Lugo, and Singer. You're pretty much starting both. Yankees, Dodgers, though, it's tricky. Lugo, you got to start them both, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yep. Yeah.
Jose Soriano at Arizona at the Giants. I think you're rolling. I like Soriano.
Yeah, I'd like Soriano too. And the matchups are good. Yep. I like it. Even in 12.
You're doing Lizardo. Milwaukee, Tobias Myers versus Toronto versus Cincinnati is a pass for me.
He's we go too fast. I can't pull up the stuff. I feel like his skills aren't like too bad.
Oh, it's been brutal in his time with the team. The long ball, the just getting hit around. The skills do look good, I'll give you that much, but the production is not followed in 7 appearances and 6 starts.
15% K to walk isn't awful. No, I'm still not doing it, though. Agreed.
Yeah, not doing it. Minnesota, you got Chris Paddock and Pablo Lopez. Colorado, Oakland, that's a great two-step, folks. I know Arrico in the chat said get right. I was either Arrico or Gialdi, get right week for Paddock. Get it going.
Yeah, and Pablo. And Pablo, who now has a 5-something ERA. You're rolling both of these guys for sure. That's a dream two-step.
Tyler McGill versus Miami versus San Diego. Get back on board there. Yankees, Rodon and Stroman at Kansas City at Boston. Yeah.
I feel like the wheels are going to come off for Stroman, but
oh yeah, I'm with you there.
But I think you go with it here.
All right, Oakland, JP Sears and Joey Estes Diego at Minnesota. You're doing them both, right?
Yeah, and I like I said, and with Estes, I have him in a couple 15 teamers. I'm rolling with that.
Yeah, another reason I like Medina. He gets Minnesota this week. Then next week, first Kansas City versus Minnesota. So get him cheap this week while you can. Just gonna put that out there. You're doing Wheeler, you're doing Skeens, you're doing Cease, Gilbert and Will, you're doing. Kyle Harrison at Houston versus the Angels.
First Houston versus the Angels.
That's a man, sorry.
Your call, you're the Giants guy.
I love the Angels start that. Houston, like I do 15 team onlys.
Okay. You wouldn't roll Harris in 12s.
He scared me. Right? Like, if you have no other options, whatever, but I think in 12s, you better have other options. Harrison's scaring me. Harrison, I even almost tweeted Hicks because he's just not going long into games now. Wynn might be back. Like, this is a tough team to roster starting pitching for. I knew it happened eventually. I didn't think it'd be this early in the season. So it's getting tricky. Like, you keep rostering Hicks for now, but he went 3 2/3 with 7 Ks the other day. Like, that's nice, but that ain't going to cut it for a starter.
No.
Webb's about the only thing you can trust in San Francisco right now. St. Louis, nothing. Tampa Bay, Pepio and Eflin. Pepio gets Baltimore and Atlanta.
That is brutal. Yeah. But you do it. I mean, Pepio's good. So, yeah. Yeah,
you do it. That's tough. Then Eflin, the Cubs in Atlanta. Yes. You're doing Eflin.
Yep.
Eovaldi, you do. Barrios at Milwaukee versus Cleveland, I'm pretty sure you're in.
Yes.
And last but not least, Patrick Corbin at Detroit versus Miami. No.
Good God.
I still
can't. So we bookend this entire thing with automatic no's from me from Jordan Montgomery and Patrick Corbin. And then you look at the schedule. I'm still not doing Corbin. Dude, Corbin's awful. Corbin.
No. Not a chance. Not a chance. Not happening at all. So, yeah, there's some
people will pick him up though in 15s at Detroit versus Miami. Like, that is
it doesn't get much better
than that.
It's not as good as versus the Angels and versus the White Sox like Jordan Montgomery has, but it's
not
pretty good.
That far off though. No, it's not. Corbin, what are we up to with Corbin this year? Oh,
he has got his tits hit in a ringer his last start.
What?
You never heard that?
No.
I guarantee it. Where's Tim McLeod when I need him? He would have understood that one.
Wow. I was going to start rattling some stats about Patrick Corbin, but I'm just floored, so I won't.
All right. I mean, we got one listener question tonight. probably for the best for all involved in this situation here. We have two listener questions. See, Joe Rico's, he gets it. Bring back, get his tits lit.
Yeah, but he's Canadian, so of course he'd get it.
Stephen Crawford said, why am I so low in the standings even though my team's stacked? A, you're in a 10-team league, so that will happen. And B, it's baseball, baby. It's baseball. Michael Cicchini says, I think I know the answer, but are you considering stashing Kershaw, Springs, Ray, or Scherzer? I feel like Max could be closest with most impact.
For sure. Not even close. Not sure the other, probably Ray second. I haven't heard much about Ray.
Ray just threw, I think it's one or two innings at the Complex League. So he's slowly getting going. He gave up like one hit and struck out like everybody else he faced.
Okay. So it's good.
That's good. Good to see.
Springs, I don't know. And Kershaw seems very far away still.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm ranking that Scherzer, Ray, Springs, Kershaw, but pretty much Scherzer's the only one I'd even think about right now. I'll say that one. But, should be a fun one, Bloomfield. That'll wrap us up with another week of Fab. Any final thoughts? Week 12 Fab. We actually have some pitching options. It's going to be interesting.
I guess. Yeah, I'm Googling tits hitting a ringer where we're at this point.
Never mind. I'm just going to stop.
We'll be after the show.
All right, everybody. That'll wrap.
I'm done.
We'll wrap it up there. I hope you guys enjoyed the show as much as I am right now, because watching Bloomfield flustered is pretty awesome at the hour and a half mark. Make sure y'all check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intrick. Until next time, this is Bubba Bloom, episode 141. Catch y'all later.